When you read through the New Testament, you find there are probably three great preachers. The greatest of them, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I want to read some of the words that he spoke. When you come into the book of Acts, the preacher turns out to be a man called Peter. Peter, one of the Lord's disciples, he preached. And then a little later in Acts, you find it was Paul who was preaching. And from these three people tonight, I want to extract something that they all said. So let's go for it and read, first of all, in Mark chapter 1, at verse number 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now, if that was all that the Lord said, it must have been a very short sermon. And mind you, there's nothing wrong with short sermons, and I'll try and not be long-winded tonight. But there's the text. He preached, saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Let's turn to Acts now, Acts chapter 3. And here in this bit of Acts, Peter is the main preacher. Let's read what he has to say. We won't read all the sermon this time because it's a bit longer. We'll just take a verse or two out of it in Acts 3. And the verse we are looking for in Acts 3 is around verse 19. But to get the context, we'll begin reading here at verse 14. So Acts 3 and 14. Peter is preaching to the people of Jerusalem, and he says to them, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired the murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in his name, hath this man, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Now we come to verse 19, and we read, "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Over now to Acts 17, and the preacher is Paul this time. Acts 17, and he's preaching in a well-known town called Athens. And in Acts 17, once more, we'll take an extract from what he said at verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Let's go back now and read a bit longer from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15. And once we read this chapter, I'm sure you'll see what I'm getting at. Luke 15, again, the words are those of the Lord Jesus. And actually in Luke 15, he tells three different parables. The first one, as you probably remember, is about somebody who lost one sheep out of 100. And at the end of that, we read in verse 6, "When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And then the Lord says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then there's another short story about a woman who lost a piece of silver. And we read in verse 9, when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And the Lord says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now listen to the next bit. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. That's all the reading for just now. We do trust God will bless his word, because after all, remember, this is God's word that we've read. And what we've read about tonight, maybe you've spotted it. All of these passages that we've read, all of these three preachers say something about what it means to repent. The great Apostle Paul was summarizing his life one day as he spoke to others, and he said that he'd gone among people preaching, and the substance of his preaching was repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I certainly would not ever pretend to be a great preacher, and certainly not a great one like Paul, but that's my message this evening. I want to speak to you about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that the Lord Jesus, when he began his preaching in Mark 1, he says, repent and believe the gospel. That, my friend, is my message to you. Repent and believe the gospel. Peter, preaching in Jerusalem, perhaps 3 or 4 years after these words that the Lord spoke, he says, as he spoke to the Jews in Jerusalem about their great crime of crucifying their Messiah, he says to them, repent and be converted, and your sins will be blotted out. And that too, my friend, is my message to you tonight. Repent and be converted, and your sins will be blotted out. And then we read a bit of Paul's message. And preaching to people in Athens who were, I was going to say they weren't religious, they certainly weren't Christian religious as we might describe it. They were rather heathen religious, you know, they'd all sorts of deities that they worshipped. And Paul says, look, forget about these idols. I want to tell you about the one true God. You don't know him, I want to tell you about him. And this God has commanded everyone, everywhere, to repent. And in case we don't get what repentance means, and I'll try and explain it as best I can, but the best illustrations from the Bible are in the Bible itself. And in Luke 15, that rather longer passage that we read, is a very adequate, graphic, and down-to-earth illustration of what it means to repent. And the Lord told that story because, remember, twice he'd said, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And then he told this story about the man with the two sons so that we would really understand what it means to repent. We did read in that passage that repentance makes God rejoice. Remember these two verses? There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. But also, of course, repentance makes people different. They're not what they were before. There's been a huge change. They've been converted, to use another word that we mentioned. So just begin here tonight and think about repentance makes God rejoice. Repentance makes people different. But what is repentance? Well, let me tell you first of all what it's not. It's not just saying sorry. You know, some people, if they're glib about things, will say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And deep down, they're not really sorry at all. They're just being polite. So repentance isn't just saying sorry. Repentance is not even just being sorry, because, okay, when some people say they're sorry, they mean it. They've made a mistake and they own up to it. And before God, I think that's where we all are. We realise that we need to be sorry before God for the way we've lived, for the things we've done. But that's not just what repentance means. Repentance is being really sorry for the way you've lived, for what you've done, and deciding to do something about it. It results in a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of ways, and actually, as well, a change in destiny. It is, first of all, to realise, to recognise that you're wrong. A lot of people find it difficult to admit they're wrong. Somebody once said that the most difficult words in the English language to say are not great long words with many syllables. The most difficult words in the English language to truly say are three words. I was wrong. None of us really like to admit that. And if we can, we'll make excuses for ourselves. But God wants us, first of all, to realise, to recognise that we're wrong before him. And repentance then takes you one stage further. Not only do you realise that you're wrong, but you resolve to make a change. You resolve to do something about it. It's not just a change of mind, it's a change of attitude towards God. That's repentance towards God. You know you're wrong. You know you really need to make a change. But how do you make that change? It's one thing to recognise you're wrong. It's one thing to decide I want to do something about it. But how can you do something about it? Well, the great good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ has done something about it. And through trusting him, he will enable you to make the change. So it's repentance towards God and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. That's how the change occurs. That's how you can be converted. That's how your sins can be blotted out. By repenting before God and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. To do for you the great work of forgiveness and cleansing and salvation that only he can provide. Now, keeping that in mind, let's think about these illustrations that we read. And before we come to Luke 15, I want to give you an everyday illustration if I can. Imagine some afternoon, you've got time on your hands and you resolve to go and get the bus and go to, well, where does Leaving Bus Station take you? Lots of places. Suppose you resolve to go to Glenrothes And you go to Leven bus station and you get on the bus. But you're only on the bus for 10 minutes and you discover it's not going in the direction of Glenrothes. Somehow or other you've got on the wrong bus. Either you were in a hurry and didn't look at it carefully, or you just jumped in the first bus that came along. But if you're in the bus and you want to get to Glenrothes and you find us going along the coast to St Monans, you know you're not going to get to Glenrothes. So what do you do about it? Well, maybe you'll just go to St Monans anyway, which isn't a bad thing to do actually, but for the purpose of my story, if you realise that you're going in the wrong direction and you really want to get to Glenrothes, you have an appointment there to see somebody, or there's a particular shop in Glenrothes which isn't in St Monans, that's not difficult to find, what do you do about it? First of all, you realise you've made a mistake. You realise you've got it wrong. But realising you've got it wrong won't get you to Glenrothes. You then have to resolve to do something about it. And sitting there in the bus thinking, I've got this wrong, I'll need to do something about it, that still won't get you to Glenrothes. You've got to do something about it. You've got to get off at the next stop and wait for another bus to take you back to Leven, and then look for the right bus to take you to Glenrothes. So you sitting in that bus, realising you got it wrong, resolving to change, and then getting out of the bus and getting back to Leven, that's you repented. You have turned yourself round, going in the wrong direction, resolving to change, and doing something about it. So that's my everyday illustration. But actually, it's a lot nearer to truth than just being a silly illustration. Because you see, all of us are on life's journey. And life begins when we're born. And life has many twists and turns before the end. But someday, we will reach the end of life's journey. And when we're going along on life's journey, we really have to ask ourselves, metaphorically speaking, am I on the right bus? Am I going on the right direction? If I keep going the way I am, where will I finish up? The Lord Jesus actually spoke about that in a different way one day. He says there are actually two roads. One's a broad road, one's a narrow road. Many, many people are going on the broad road, and that broad road leads to destruction. Or in other words, that broad road is the way to hell. But he says there's another road, it's a narrow road. And there's a straight gate, a narrow gate that gets you on it, but you've got to decide to go on it. And that road, the narrow road, leads to life. In other words, it leads to heaven. So you see, my wee story about the bus isn't quite so far away from the truth of the Bible. But if you don't like stories, and I don't blame you if you don't, because, well, let's be honest, some people's stories are just silly. Hope mine isn't too silly. I hope you've got the point. But even if you want to lay that one aside, let's come to the Bible one. Because the Bible story that we read gives a great illustration of what it means to repent. So let's go back to that story in Luke 15. Two boys who seemed to be well brought up in a wealthy farm, homestead, and the younger one gets itchy feet. The younger one says to his father, "Father, I'm kind of fed up here. I want to get out and away. I want to see the big wide world. Please give me the money that I'll be expecting to get when you go. I want it now." And for some reason, father doesn't argue with the boy. He just gives in, and he gives to them. It says he divides to them his estate. Some kept for the older son, the rest given to the younger son. And the younger son, I don't know how big his pocket was, but he put it in his pocket and away he went. And like many another young person, sad to say, this young lad wasted it all. He blew it all, they'd say nowadays. and eventually had nothing left. While he'd plenty to spend, to give, he'd plenty friends. When his money went down, he'd no friends. And he was hungry, and he was destitute. I don't know if there were such things as pawn shops in these days, but I guess if there were, he'd have gone and sold the clothes off his back. But eventually, he had absolutely nothing. And he was hungry, and he at last found somebody who at least would give him a job. And what a job it was. A job I would need to admit I wouldn't like to take on. But then you never know what you have to do these days. This man was sent into the farmer's field to feed his pigs. Now that would be bad enough for a fifer. Especially a fifer with a fishing background. I wouldn't like that. But for a Jew it was even worse. Because in Jewish custom and culture, pigs were, well, unclean animals to say the least. Their name would hardly be mentioned and their meat would certainly not be eaten. And for a Jewish boy to go into a farmer's muck yard and feed pigs was the lowest of the low. But what else could he do? One day he sat there, and it says in my Bible, one day he came to himself. This is the point where this man began the road of repentance. He, remember my first point, he found out, he realized he was wrong. He realized he was in the wrong place. He realized he'd done wrong things. He wasn't just going to say sorry, although he was sorry. He was going to do something about it. He realized he was wrong. But then he resolved to do something about it. He resolved to get up and go. And his resolve was, I'll go to my father. Don't know what kind of reception I'll get, but I'm going to rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Can you imagine that lad sitting there among the muck, deciding, I've got it wrong. I'm in the wrong place. I'm in the wrong condition. It's getting worse. He's realized at last that he's wrong. But he's not left it at that. He says, I'm not going to stay here anymore. He has made a resolve to get up and go back to his father. He's recognized his wrong position. He's resolved. He's made up his mind. But that's not repentance yet. It's only repentance when he takes the next step, when in verse 20 we read, he rose up and made the move towards his father. He was not only willing for the change, he implemented the change. And then as he went back to his father, he simply had to trust his father to deal with him appropriately. So he did come back to his father. And he did say to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And then he simply had to wait to see what would happen. And we know what happened. The Bible tells us that the father said, let's leave it at that, son. You're back home. You've come. You're welcome. And they had a great party. He was received by his father. Now, that's two stories. One about an imaginary one about you in the buses. Another one that's a real one from the Bible. But what about you and me tonight? Let's face up to this ourselves. Now, I don't know you all, so I'm not preaching anybody. I'm just asking each one of us here tonight to think about ourselves. Has there been a point in our life when we have, number one, realised that something is wrong with us? I don't mean physically wrong, I don't even mean mentally wrong. I mean morally wrong, that in God's sight, we are wrong. we're going in the wrong direction. We've got the wrong ideas. Now, God actually tells us that. If you read through the Bible, God will tell us clearly that as we are born and as we grow up and as we live, there is a lot wrong with our lives. Mind you, most of us don't need God to tell us that. Most of us have a conscience inside that tells us that anyway. Conscience tells us that we're wrong, that we shouldn't be like we are. And sometimes circumstances tell us that as well. We get into a mess, our lives become mixed up, and we get into bad habits. So conscience tells us, circumstances tell us that we're wrong. But the Bible tells us that we're wrong. God says in his word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners in God's sight, born as sinners and continuing in sin. It's clear that something is wrong. And the first step to eternal blessing is recognizing that something's wrong. Something's wrong inside you. Something's wrong with you organically as a person. You're wrong. Some people don't like to be told they're wrong. Some people don't like to be called sinners, although that's what the Bible says. Some people don't listen to their conscience. Some people ignore their circumstances and say, well, just so be it. But if God is going to bless you, you do first of all need to recognize, realize, and admit that you're wrong. But don't leave it at that, because God doesn't want to make you more miserable than ever. God wants to lift you up from where you are and bring you to where he is. So there needs to be within each person's soul not only a recognition of how wrong we are, but a resolve to do something about it. A resolve to change. A resolve to, as the Bible says, believe the gospel. That was the Lord's message. Repent and believe the gospel. And by you recognizing where you've got wrong and resolving to do something about it and come to God about it, then he will do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. You believe the gospel. You believe God's word is true. You believe the gospel. You believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came from heaven to earth to be your Savior. You believe that he lived a spotless, sinless life and then died on a cross that we've been singing about a few times tonight. Died on a cross in awful conditions of suffering and shame to take the punishment for our sin, so that our sins could be forgiven. You repent and you believe the gospel. Not just believing about Christ, but actually trusting in him to take your sin away. And as one of our verses said, Peter's words, repent and be converted, and your sins are blotted out. Isn't that a lovely thing to think about your sins being blotted out? God keeps a record of all our lives. And God knows that sometimes that record's not very pretty to read or to look at. But if you repent, if you resolve to do something about it and move towards God, he will move towards you. Remember what the father did when the boy was still far away? The father ran and took him round the neck and received him willingly. And if you tonight haven't done this yet, here's a good chance to do it tonight. Recognizing you're wrong, admitting your life is not what God wants it to be and not even what you want it to be, and resolving to come to God in faith, to believe the gospel, to trust in the Savior, to recognize that his death on the cross was the punishment for your sin. You will be converted. Your life will be turned right round. Your sins will be blotted out. There will be in your life a present change. The Bible says if anybody is in Christ and finds Christ as their Saviour, they're a new creation. God makes you new from the inside out. This isn't reformation from the outside in. This isn't people trying to put you into a straitjacket so that things won't happen like used to happen. This is God by his Spirit working in the human heart to bring a knowledge of forgiveness of sin, sins blotted out, the record so changed that nobody can read it again. And you're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Another word in the Bible, I'm sure you know this, that's used about this great change is being born again. Being born anew. You see, to get life on earth, we needed to be born. To get eternal life, we need to be born again. A change from the inside, which occurs when you want it to occur. When you're willing to admit in the presence of God that you've got it wrong, that you're going in the wrong direction. The kind of life you're living is wrong through and through, and you resolve to do something about it. You resolve to get up and go, as it were, and go to your Heavenly Father and confess that you're a sinner and accept what he offers freely. You see, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. In our story about the young man that had been away in the far country and spent all his money and so on, when he came back to his father, there was nothing he could offer his father to gain a place back in his father's house. He'd no money, and he couldn't possibly work to please his father. He simply had to cast himself on the mercy of that father that loved him. And so must you, my friend, if you've not repented and trusted Christ yet, that's what you must do. Recognize, resolve, rise, and you'll be received. The Bible says, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And if you come to Christ tonight, if you take that move of faith, you will repent and you'll be converted. And your sins will be blotted out. Is that not good news? That's the news of the gospel. I'm leaving it with you because I promise not to be long-winded. I hope I haven't been. I just wanted to bring this message to you tonight and ask you to think about it seriously. The message of Jesus Christ, repent and believe the gospel. The message of Peter, one of the apostles, repent and be converted, and your sins will be blotted out. The message of Paul the Apostle, God is commanding all men everywhere. Yes, you and me in Innerleven Gospel Hall tonight are included. God not only invites, he does, but he commands everyone to repent. Because, did you remember what came next? Because there's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of judgment coming, says Paul in that message. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man, Christ Jesus, and has given assurance of it by raising him from the dead. And because Jesus Christ lives tonight, he did die on the cross, we all know that. He came alive after 3 days. And he is alive now, and because he is alive now, he is able on the one hand to grant eternal life to all who come to him and trust him. On the other hand, he is there to be the judge of all who refuse him. And so the facts of the matter are really very straightforward. You have the choice of repenting and trusting him as your saviour, or keeping going on the way that even you know is wrong and having to face him one day as your judge. It's like the story of the two roads again. One leads to heaven, the other leads to hell. And the choice, my friend, is yours. Shall we pray and then we'll sing a hymn? Our Father, we thank thee for thy word that lays before us so clearly the way of salvation. Lays before us so clearly how we can be saved and forgiven and accepted before thee, a holy God. We remember this could only be the case because thou didst love us so much that thou didst give thy Son, our blessed Lord Jesus, to take our sins and to bear our sins in his own body on that tree. And so again we remember the cross on Calvary. Again we remember how our Saviour died. And we thank thee that so many of us here have already realised that he died for us, and we've accepted him and we know him as our Saviour and our Lord. And we pray, O God, that everyone here may have that same assurance and that same blessing. Grant us thy blessing as we leave this place. Help us, we pray, to think about these things seriously and carefully. And may we all be blessed just by being here and listening to thy word, we pray, as we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.